That song is just so perfect.
I know.
Geez. Okay, yeah. So I, you know, coming off of laughing and having fun, I am so fucking triggered. I mean, and, you know, I mean, I don't like saying this publicly. This is a paid show, so only the people who pay are going to hear this. But, you know, I mean, I'm fortunate. I'm a very fortunate person. While I have experienced sexism and I have experienced versions of, you know, like my mother, I'll give you an example, and I've told this story before, but it's like a version of an assault. It wasn't a physical assault, but I was working with a customer one time who... it was in the chemical industry, and he was telling me how he cheats on his wife, and he was just going on and on about it. And so he looked at me very seriously and he said, "I'm very oral." And I'm like, "Oh."
Ew.
I know. He said it real slow. And so he basically began to tell me that when he starts an affair with a woman, that he needs to have a test proving that she doesn't have any diseases because I'm very oral. And if
Ew.
She were to give him a sexually transmitted infection, he would literally kill her. That's what he told me. He said, "I would kill her." And so it's like, okay, now, did he assault me? No. But what am I supposed to fucking think? I'm sitting there with my little dangly earrings and my, you know, and my little open-toed shoes trying to get an order from him, you know, and he's saying this shit to me. And I don't know if he thought this would turn me on. I don't know. I don't know what he thought. But, you know, I mean, I've had other men in the same profession tell me that if I wore a white tank top with no bra, that I'd get bigger orders. You know, and
of course you would.
I would laugh and say, "Oh, you're a pig." And then, you know, and it's like, I didn't report because I knew if I reported that I would be the troublemaker that nobody wanted to deal with and that I wouldn't be believed and that they'd want, you know, like a man to come in instead of a woman who's so distracting with her, you know, breasts and everything. So I didn't say anything. And I mean, this, that's about the
because
worst.
It's shocking. It's shocking. And you, what is a young person or a person of any age for that matter, a woman supposed to say when they're blindsided with completely disgusting, inappropriate, objectifying behavior and comments from men who feel that they are within their rights.
Right.
Like they don't even have to question whether or not this is appropriate. They just know they can say it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the guy who told me about the, or said that if I wore a white tank top, he worked for the government. And so this was so against the rules. You know, they've had all these trainings and all this shit. Men have to go through training to understand not to be fucking sexual predators to women. You know, and they just didn't care. And I told other people that were in the same, you know, government field that he would say these things. And they, you know, most of them were all men. And most of them were actually pretty cool guys. If they ever said anything, it wasn't in front of my face. But they would shake their heads and they're like, why is he doing this? And they all knew. They all knew who he was and how he behaved. But I mean, reading over, like, I'm going to read some of this. This is a declaration of, I think her name is Julie Sweetnick. I don't know if it's Sweetnick or Sweetnick. It's S-W-E-T.
I think, yeah, I'm going to go with Sweat.
Sweetnick. So Avenatti is representing her. So here's part, you know, I mean, Claude had mentioned that she has a clearance. So what that means is she's putting herself at risk of perjury. If she's lying, she could lose everything. This
everything.
Isn't just a regular woman working at, you know, Kohl's or selling something or, you know, this is like, she's got high security clearances. So anyway, she says, "I first met Mark Judge and Brett Kavanaugh in approximately 1980-81, introduced at a house party, blah, 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 blah." So she said she would describe them as joined at the hip, saw them together all the time. She said, okay, let me find it here. There were, okay, so Judge and Kavanaugh would drink excessively and engage in highly inappropriate conduct, including being overly aggressive with girls, not taking no for an answer. This conduct included fondling and grabbing of the girls without their consent. I observed Kavanaugh drink excessively in many of these parties, engage in abusive and physically aggressive behavior towards girls. It gets worse, though. Let me find it.
I can pick up right now.
What they would do is they would target girls who came to the party alone. They would spike the drinks with either drugs or with grain alcohol, and they would go for the girls that were vulnerable, and they would get her so drunk that she couldn't say no. They would put her in a room, and then all the fucking guys would line up so that they could rape her. So this was he's a serial gang rapist. So now, this is upsetting.
According to her.
Yeah, according to her. And a lot of other people who have, you know, maybe not the gang rape part, but other people have corroborated these stories in that he was a drinker and he would, you know, his character. Plus, there was there was that whole high school yearbook thing about that Renate Dolphin woman who...
Renata.
Okay, well, it was said Renate, so I don't know. Or it's spelled with a T at the end. Yep. So I don't know if it's Renata.
It's Renata, okay. I think.
And, you know, it was like a Renata alumnus or something like that, meaning that he was one of them who took advantage
of her.
Had her. Yeah. Huh? And so as bad as all of this is, A, it's no surprise that this kind of behavior went down. But what's most sickening is the Republicans' behavior. The fact that Chuck Grassley and the rest of them are like, yeah, we're going to take a vote anyway. Have your little say. And then we're going to vote. Like, we don't give a shit what you say. You know, Cornyn, I think it was Cornyn, who was basically saying the longer this goes on, the more reckless allegations that are going to come forward. They're calling these women liars. Why would these women lie? What are they going to get out of this? Death threats? They could possibly lose their jobs. They're not going to get anything out of this. And so what is so sickening and so horrifying to me, more than... what he did, which is so vile, is how the Republicans are psychologically assaulting women. You know, I mean, there are women out there who have been raped. There are women out there who have experienced much worse than I have. And I can't even imagine what it must be like to not only kind of relive this, but see these men. I mean, we're all on the same page here. We're watching these men defend the rapists.
Yes.
It's just fucking mind-blowing to me.
And what's really tough, like, I don't know, I haven't been able to sleep. I haven't been able to, well, I've been able to eat. That's sad. But I haven't been able to sleep. I've made myself sick because we've all had our own experiences. We all know someone who has been absolutely assaulted, if not worse. But what it also does is it makes me, I have to try to keep my wits about me, because what I want to do is throw down in a really terrifying way. But what we have to continue to remind ourselves is we've got, what, 5 weeks left to vote. We've got to be loud. We have to support anybody that's in a position to protest, like the protesters who are in D.C., who are in the Dirksen Senate building, who are going crazy. You know, I was in D.C. 2-3 weeks ago to sit in on the Kavanaugh hearings to protest him because he may overturn Roe.
Yeah.
Now he's a rapist.
Yeah, and a gang rapist, and a serial gang rapist.
Right. And we need to speak out against. I confronted someone last Friday who assaulted somebody I know and care about. Wow. I made a phone call.
Yeah.
And I called him out on it. And guess what? He copped to it.
Wow.
Okay. So be strong. Be loud. Think of those who may not have the fortitude or the ability to speak out, and just continue fighting on their behalf. You know, it's traumatic to be reminded of horrible things that have happened to us, to people we care about, to people we love. some of us maybe are, you know, I had a really... a pointed conversation with a very dear friend of mine who's a total, you know, she's on our side. And she wasn't sure if she could do what Dr. Blasey Ford is doing, mm-hmm. and now what Julie Swetnick is doing, and what Debbie Ramirez is doing, mm-hmm. because of the fallout and because of the family members.
Right.
And I said, you know, I would be called out on so much bad behavior. I mean, I have 25 years of abusive drinking under my belt, mm-hmm. you know, but I never raped anybody.
Yeah.
And I never forced anyone to have sex with me. And I never attempted to, I never scared anyone into thinking I was going to kill them because yeah. I wanted sex from them. So, you know what? I would speak out if I had to speak out against Brett Kavanaugh, because it's too important not to. Let him slut shame me. What, you know, so, yeah. so I don't get to run for city council. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and the honestly. Thing is anymore, that's not going to, slut shaming you isn't necessarily going to matter because,
exactly.
You know, now
tell me something. Tell me something we don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like tides are turning. You know, I think this has been a very difficult week for me already. It's Wednesday, but on Monday was fucking awful because my mom's cat, who was also my cat. I mean, you know, I had lived with my mom for a time in Northern California, so I lived with her. Her name is Samantha. And prior to that, my mother had moved from Arizona to Northern California, and I kept her cats for 6 months. And so she had Samantha and Sid passed away, I think, in 2013. But Samantha, who was just shy of turning 14, recently, I guess she got cancer. And so we found out about a month ago, and it's been all down, you know, downhill ever since. The only positive thing is several months ago, Samantha stopped wandering the house, and she only stayed in the dining room area, which I think was an indication that she was getting sick. She wasn't behaving anything. You know, she's like, her behavior hadn't changed. She still ate. She still drank. But I think that she understood somewhere that she was sick, and she wouldn't leave the dining room. And then the last 2 weeks of her life, she did. She would sleep with my mother. But I mean, literally within 3 weeks, she went from 14 pounds to 9.5 pounds. Mm. And it was so sad and awful. And so I went over there to my mother's house on Sunday night, and I spent the night because I just wanted to spend some time with her. And on Monday morning, well, first of all, on Sunday night, we get Avenatti saying gang rape, you know, gang rape. I mean, I've got a client. She's coming out soon. So, I mean, this is like 11 o'clock on a Sunday night. We're getting this breaking, horrifying news. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sitting there with the cat and you know, just trying to be there for her and be strong and not cry. It was difficult for me to see her because I could tell that she was dying. And so, you know, the next day we wake up and my mom's trying to find somebody to come over so, you know, we can put her down at home. And it was just such a mess. Finally, we find someone after like four tries, and the guy couldn't come until like 6:30. So all day, I'm following this news of rape and gang rape and Rosenstein being fired and then not being fired and resigning and nobody knows what the fuck's going on. And, you know, just waiting to put your cat down who you love, who's just like this magical little family member. You know, and so it's like, you know, I mean, I'm fine. I really felt beat up that day. I came home and I felt beat up. And yesterday it was kind of like I had a hangover from the day before. I'm starting to at least recover from that. But, you know, it's true. We have to be strong, and I will always retain my sense of humor. But at the same time, I'm having a very difficult time. You know, I'm finding myself agitated. I'm upset. I have stomach aches. I'm feeling, not that I don't fear for my life when I walk out of my house. I don't feel that I'm going to be attacked. But on the other hand, in a much more general sense, I do have that fear of, because I'm a woman and because my mother, you know, is 71 years old and, you know, she's going to the store by herself and doing things by herself. I worry about her with all this fucking mm-hmm. entitlement. You know, and men, you know, I mean, she had some issue with an appliance that she was some guy or some business screwed her over. And I called them out on social media. And then I was like frightened that they would, you know, go to her house. And so, I mean, all of these allegations and everything coming down the pike and the fact that we've got, you know, basically a rapist in the Oval Office and a rapist mm-hmm. that may go to the Supreme Court. Is too much. It's too much. And we have no other choice but to be strong. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard. I mean, it's just really, really hard to maintain the humor, to maintain that strength for the others to maintain any kind of peace of mind. You know, I mean, I watch Rachel Maddow every night, and, you know, I'm online while I'm watching her, but I'm kind of freaked out. You know, she comes up, she goes, okay, I've got a breaking news story now. And I'm like, my heart is in my throat. Right. It's just like, what now?
Right.
It's just so freaking scary. I don't know. It's just, but you know what? I want to hear a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about our past weekends. So you had an interesting weekend. You had said that you, I want you to tell us about the Jans thing.
Okay. So
when you're like, let's flip the fucking house.
Oh, did you love that?
Yes.
Okay. So my husband, Zach, and I started campaigning, we got involved in the Jans campaign about a year ago. We have a group of concerned citizens in the East Bay in California who reached out to four different flippable house candidates in California, places we could drive to if need be, you know, so we could knock doors, so we could just do groundwork for them. And the Jans campaign is the only one that got back to the group. And which is says something about their wherewithal and their desire to win, and they're going to do anything to do it, right? Andrew Jans's campaign manager, Heather Greven, is like a special type of human being. She gets it. Mm-hmm. She has built this campaign into something that, you know, Andrew outraised Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in July.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. This is grassroots.
Crazy.
Isn't it? And still they haven't raised as much as dirty, filthy, disgusting Devin Nunes, yeah. but they're fighters. Okay. So here, as Claude was saying in our first segment, you know, this is a gerrymandered district. Mm-hmm. California's 22 Nunes is in his sixth congressional term. He doesn't even go to the district. He doesn't even meet with constituents in the district. It just is.
Yeah, he just serves
district.
Putin.
That's correct.
He serves so Trump and Putin.
Right. So Drew, as I like to call him, he, you know, he's got this amazing campaign manager and staff, and they know how to get on the ground. And he's a very busy guy. You know, he's a violent crimes prosecutor during the day, and then he campaigns at night and on the weekends. And he's met with his constituents, and I've seen the work that they've done, and it's because they're workers that they are where they are. So anyway, through this, you know, us working with them, we had a house party for Drew before he even, you know, won the nomination. And we got a couple thousand bucks together in a hat. It was like literally like church when the guy comes through with mm-hmm, the basket yeah. on the stick, and they were thrilled then. Now they come out. Kate, who does all of the planning and scheduling for the Jans campaign, she's from the East Bay. So she and Heather came out and watched my band play in Oakland at this seedy bar called McNally's, which is one of the greatest places on earth, even for a non-drinker. They came out, they watched us play, and then at the end of the night, they go, okay, would you guys be willing to play a fundraiser in San Francisco for Andrew? Because there are a lot of Democrats in Northern California who would love to throw down and help win this race because it's a big one. And we said, of course we would. Well, it happened. It happened on Friday night. And over between the time, like June 30th, when they were at this gig in Oakland saying, let's do this, and last Friday, they met Michael Avenatti at a Democratic fundraiser at Ted Lieu's home. Okay. So they're texting me pictures of, you know, hey, look where we are. Ah, you know, and it's this Ted Lieu thing, and all of the Democratic candidates in California are there. You know, the Mike Levin, the Katies, I think Harley Rudo was there. You know, it's a big deal. They're these Democrats in Congress, the Barbara Lees of the world, the Ted Lieus, the Eric Swalwells, they are doing everything they can to help flip the House. It's a beautiful thing. You know, they're using their time and effort and resources to raise money for the Andrew Janses of the world. And so I said to Heather, hey, why don't you ask Avenatti if he wants to come out to the party? Because they're trying to get big names on the list. Like Barbara Lee loaned her name so that we could sell tickets. And we did. We sold it out. But Avenatti showed up. I can't even believe it. And he was, so there was like, there were levels of tickets that you could buy. You know, you paid a certain amount. You just were like on the ground, rock and roll, beer and wine, you know. Then there was the VIP ticket, which was get, you know, hard alcohol, beer and wine all night, yeah. Pictures with Avenatti and Andrew Jans. And, you know, they're the blue wave cookies that my best friend, who's a pastry chef, made. And I was handing out on, you know, trays. That was it. Like I was like cookie dinner because there was no food otherwise. But anyway, so this is happening. Avenatti comes in. He takes pictures of everybody, with everybody. He's super down to earth. I told him that he was a guardian of democracy and he said he wanted to start using that. I'd love to get that hashtag trending, by the way. But he really truly is, you know, anybody can say what they will about him, whether they, you know, oh, he's a media whore. Oh, he's just doing this for his own fame and fortune. But guess what? Look what he is doing. Mm-hmm. Look how he held Michael Cohen's feet to the fire. Okay. And look at what he has done and produced for us today, for us, for not just us women, but for all of the American people. Like if there is a better guardian of democracy, please share them with me.
Yeah.
I'd like to know. But anyway, he came out, he took all his pictures, and then he just promptly walked downstairs where the, you know, just the general admission tickets were. And he said hello to everybody. Anybody that wanted a picture with him, he was out and about. And then he spoke, and he speaks well. He spoke a little long, if you ask me, but he speaks well. And it brought some flash to the event, and they raised a shit ton of money Friday night. Wow. So, yeah, it's good. And the momentum is there. And I truly believe, you know, when we're talking about people who are in San Francisco and Oakland and San Jose and Palo Alto and Sunnyvale and San Ramon, wherever they came from in the Bay Area, to throw down, you know, the cheap tickets were $150. This was no joke. These people are serious about taking the country back and flipping the house. And that's real. That's what we need to remind ourselves. Like Claude said, he's sure Andrew's going to win. Well, it would be just unbelievable if he did. And so empowering to us and all the work that, you know, all the Democrats across the country have done, every penny that we give, every phone call that we make, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just before we go, I want to say one thing that Bob is going to be interviewing Larry Charles on his show later today, which is Larry Charles was he the director, the producer?
He wrote the greatest Seinfeld episode.
Borat.
Bruno and Religious.
I mean, this is going to be a kick-ass interview. So I gotta hurry it up, but I just wanted to say that on Saturday night, Bob and I went to the Stephanie Miller / John Fugelsang Blue Wave, liberal blue wave tour, whatever they're calling it, but it was sexy, mm-hmm. sexy liberal blue wave tour. And I got, you know, we both got to meet, although Bob has interviewed Malcolm Nance on his show, but we got to meet him in person, which was really fun. And, Daryl Hammond and, who else was there? Oh, Charlie Pierce was there. And it was a really fun night. We had an opportunity to talk to people afterward, and that's always fun meeting, you know, people who listen to the show. Some of them listen to this program. I'm on the After Party with Bob every Friday, and so that's a subscription show. So it was kind of fun, but again, it's like you were saying, it's this camaraderie, it's this coming together, all of us doing what we can to keep the spirits up and to keep people motivated and engaged, because of course, sadly, there's a bunch of people in this country who still don't know they have no idea what's going on. And we have to reach as many people as possible. And I really do think one of the best ways to do that is humor. And, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here screaming about how upset I am, and I am, but I do realize, you know, I'm so grateful that Claude is out there doing what he's doing with some humor. Because, you know, every time I scroll and I see a picture of his crazy ass freaking traitor balloon, or, you know, if I see the Ted Cruz tweet billboards or the sickle, you know, the hammer and sickle for the GOP, it makes me laugh. And it, you know, and I think freaking Claude, you know, and it just, I laugh. So it's just something that it's just so important, that we maintain, you know, a level of humor.
Yeah.
So anyway, but anyway, so I think it's good that we better get going. So Bob can prepare to talk to Mr. Larry Charles.
Oh my God, I love
so
you.
So I think
guys
Bob
right
thinks
now.
He's great now.
Did you pick this song?
Yes, I did. I always pick the songs.
You're a wizard.
I think we've used this song before, but it just seems fitting.
Have we?
Yeah.
I'm doing the
at
total
least I
like.
Have.
I'm doing a 16 candles sort of style dance, whatever. Courtney Cox.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. This is it. Thank you for listening. Hopefully we're going to have 3 shows for you in October. So thanks for listening. And the next show will be Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.